guys, welcome to episode 125 of A Wrestling Gal Podcast, providing you with the female perspective on all things wrestling. Join me, your host and wrestling enthusiast, Ella J. As today, I am joined by the woman who recently made her return in the 2021 Women's Royal Rumble, Lisa Marie Varon, also known as Victoria. Now let's chat! Hello, everybody. Today, I am once again joined by an absolute legend. And trust me, she ain't the lady to mess with. It is none other than Miss Lisa Marie Varon, aka Victoria. So how are you doing today, Lisa?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me, Ella. We're such big fans of yours, and we're so proud of you, of your future successes and all the doors that are opening for you. Yeah. Yeah, you're not the lady to mess with.
Well, today is such a special occasion because this is actually kind of your first non-WWE interview since your Royal Rumble appearance. So I'm honored to be trusted and to have you on my show here today. There's a lot to dissect and discuss everything surrounding your appearance at this year's Royal Rumble.
I want to say, like all of the people listening, I promised you my first interview outside of WWE. For my first interview outside of about the Rumble, besides the GAW TV, where we can touch base. But yes, because I trust you and we became really tight and close friends. And now you're part of our Team GAW. Hashtag, you know, you handle my store. Hashtag Team GAW. And you're part, you know, you run my store and you help me with all this stuff. So I appreciate it.
We appreciate you, especially the fans. So I suppose we will dive right in from the very beginning when you first received that call that you're in. WWE wants your presence in this highly anticipated Royal Rumble match. So what was your initial reaction to this phone call, girl? Because I remember you talked to me like shortly afterwards, but what was your initial reaction?
I didn't pick up the phone. I got a text message. We would like to talk to you. And I was like, I saw the 203 area code and it was Mark Ferrano. And I was like, okay, the Rumble's coming up. And I was driving too. And so I was like, you know, I can't focus on a phone call and drive. And I was just going, I wonder if this is about the Rumble. I wonder if this is about the Rumble. And I finally call back. I first talked to SoCal Val and Mickey James. Yeah. They're like, I hope you're doing it. And I'm like, isn't the Rumble in 2 weeks? How am I going to get ring ready in 2 weeks? I don't want to look like an ass. I don't want to look out of shape. I don't want to be blown up. I was like, you know, I don't have my hair extensions. And I'm like, I am not like presentable right now. I didn't feel 100% like about physically ready because you cannot get ready for a match in 2 weeks. Yeah. Even in 2 months, you can't get ready unless you're in the ring. So I bought a recumbent bike on sale at Big Five, trying to get like in shape and lose weight and stuff like that. But recumbent bike, come on, dude, you can't, it's cardio. That's it. It's not like having the adrenaline pump inside you and just getting ready to take a hit or bump and just go, go, go. Recumbent bike is just, you're just pedaling. So yeah, I was so super nervous. And I called back and talked to Mark Ferrano. We're in contact about Rumble. And I'm like, okay, what's the date? This and that. And I was like, okay, all right. Book me. And he's like, all right, we finally got you back. And I'm like, yeah, finally. Oh my God. It's been a long, long time.
12 years.
Oh my gosh. And holy, the nerves. I was waking up really stressed every day, which, you know, because I would box you every day and going, oh my God, what am I doing? What am I doing? I'm going back and I'm like in this shape. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like, you know, it's a lot of people are like, you become a perfectionist, like about your looks because you're not, you know, as a woman, as a female wrestler, you're not allowed to age, gray, gain weight. You still have to still look that part that you did. And you're just so scared to be ridiculed by the fans going, oh my God, I don't want them to be disappointed. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of pressure on you, not just for myself, for my own self. I didn't want to disappoint the fans. I wanted them to remember, oh man, why did she retire? That's what I wanted, you know?
Now, you only had like a couple weeks to prepare for this appearance, like you said. So it was putting together your ring gear, settling your nerves. But how did you go about keeping it a secret, Lisa? That must have been so hard.
That was the hardest secret ever, ever. I got my ring gear by Jolene. She used to make ring gear. She was, you know, backstage at TNA, but she was also working the weekend at WWE. If you follow her, it's by Jolene. She makes amazing ring gear. She still had my my cutouts to make my gear. And then she sent me a picture. She goes, "Do you want the back like this?" And I was like, "Oh my God, I can't believe it was up my butt." She used to make it little, like, you know, you don't notice, like, you know, you can't like pick a wedgie out during a match because you have to think it's a real fight, but you're also self-conscious. "Oh my God, my butt is hanging out." And I go, "No." She goes, "Okay, you need to stop by here when you land, and I need to measure the back and the butt and everything like that." And she was working really hard on my outfit. And I appreciate that. I wanted the red and I wanted the Black Widow and stuff like that. So thank you, Jolene, for rushing on that order for me. But and the day I landed, when I was supposed to go to her house, not a lot of people know this. You do. Only my close friends. I was dry heaving, like, on the flight to Tampa. I was going to say Orlando. To Tampa, I was like, my nerves. I was so nervous. And I haven't been on the road in so freaking long or taken a flight. And I was just like, am I ready? You know, you second guess yourself a lot. You know, that's, you always overanalyze everything you do. And I told her, can I come over tomorrow morning? I go, I need to lay down. I go, I just took two flights to get here. I need to go relax and just get my head prepared and just have a good night's sleep. And that was it. And the next morning I went to go get size. And then at night I went back so she can see she did the right measurements, but she did it. She whipped it out just like that. And I'm hoping she gets a job at WWE. She's way too talented, not to be on the big platform, you know?
Yeah, your ring gear was hot, girl. I was so awesome, impressed. Right? Yeah, I was very happily surprised. I was very shocked in a good way. It was so hot, girl. Trust me.
Yay. I made it a little bit bigger, like, you know, because, you know, this COVID diet, you know, we're all gaining weight. And I was like, a little bit more age appropriate too. So I was like, I don't want my stomach showing. I want it lower cut, you know, I'm about to turn 50. Like, you know, I wanted it. Boom. And then I bought, like, I had the worst time trying to find red extensions for my hair.
You've told me about
You know that I told you that too, right? So I went to Sally's and this girl sold me this imitation hair. So I bought hair dye and I left it overnight and it melted the imitation hair because she didn't know it had been human hair. And so I was like, oh my God, I got to go back out. I got to go buy some hair. So I found a place that sells weaves and I just bought a bag of fake hair. And the girl that did my makeup, she was new. God bless her too. I was like, I bought some red hair. It's a weave. It's fake hair. You're going to have to braid it in my hair. And the poor girl is like, she's new to WWE because they hired, like, I think there was, oh my God, 8 makeup artists or I don't know. There was a lot of makeup artists. And I was like, I'm so sorry. You're new and you got me to do this hair. And I go, but I have a tough head. Freaking tie it in really tight. If you pull it, it doesn't hurt. Just make sure it doesn't leave. So we did that and it was like perfect. It was like, I was asking the girls, do I curl my hair? What do you think of Victoria? Do I do straight hair or curly? They're like, I like the straight hair. And I'm like, oh, thank God. Okay, good. Straight. And then my hair is bone straight anyways. So it was, yeah, because we, you know, being in makeup all day and your hair and being like ring ready, you know, just and waiting around backstage, you're like that anxiety, like everything came back to me and I was crying, like just a lot of emotions because I was like, I can't believe I'm back. And also like I was nauseous because I was, you know, God bless Tori. You need to eat something, get some fruit in or something like that. You need to eat something. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so nervous. I can't even eat. She goes, you need to eat something. Yeah, your body's not working on anything. So I was forcing myself to eat. And yeah, it was just, and I got blown up during that match. I'll tell you that the adrenaline, I think adrenaline just kills you. It really does. It's like people don't realize even though it's an empty arena, there's still faces in those screens. So it's not really, it's not an empty arena. I thought it was the freaking coolest thing ever. And I was just, I popped huge. I was like, do these people pay to get their seats? Evidently they don't. And I was like, this is so freaking cool. to be your face on as an audience member.
It's a cool experience.
It was brilliant. It was so brilliant. Oh my God. And then seeing the arena, how it was set up, it was, you know, they were like, hey, we want to get your reaction seeing the ring for the first time. And so I had to wait for the camera guy to follow me. They did a couple shots of that on their backstage documentary on WWE.com. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, their app. And I was just, when I saw it, and I was like, oh my God, the nerves really settled in. I was just like, oh my, am I ready? Am I ready? Oh my gosh. And, you know, I did, the secret was hard to keep though, Ella. It was super hard. I didn't tell my family because my oldest brother does window coverings and he likes to brag about his little sister, you know, and I have three older brothers. So I was like, I don't want them to tell any of their coworkers, anybody, because they might go, oh, it's so cool. Your little sister's on back in WWE. That kind of, I just didn't want that to happen. And then, so I told them the night before when I landed, saying, hey, if you have a chance, if you can tune into WWE.com. So my brothers purchased the app. So yeah, so to watch it, and they were so proud, but it was the hardest secret. I told you about it because I you know, you and I talk every single day.
I wanted to shout it to the rooftops, but I couldn't because that was such like a highly anticipated return. I was so, I can't even describe the emotion I was having. I didn't know what number you were coming out as. I had a fairly good idea, but I was just anticipating. I'm like, what number is she going to come out as? And I was on FaceTime with my friend. So I forgot. I couldn't even record my live reaction.
Was it Diane?
It was Diana. Yeah. I was bawling. Like, I was so emotional. And then I was on your Twitter just looking at the responses. Oh my God, girl, your Twitter mentions were blowing up.
And also, too, remember, I was telling you, I gave you my login information so you can pretend like I am posting stuff from home.
Yep.
And I did a video saying, oh, we're out on Saturday night on a romantic evening in San Diego. And then I showed it to Mickey. She goes, oh, that's so obvious. You say Saturday night. Mm-hmm. So you kind of plugged in the night. And I was like, okay, I can't post this. And then so I accidentally did tweet something. You're like, Lisa, don't, because it puts your location down.
Yeah.
So you immediately deleted it. And so you protected me. I go, oh my God, I just wanted to post something so it looks like I'm active. You know, there's, you know, the days I post is because I'm so exhausted. And you know, you're like, you'll even box me going, are you okay today? Because you haven't posted anything on social media. And I'm like, I'm so tired. I need a social media break. You know, it's a job, you know, that it's part of your job too. It's social media is our future, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Little known fact, Lisa actually almost spoiled her own return to WWE via Twitter because if people paid close enough attention, I'm just going to explain more. Your tweets are tagged with your location of San Diego, California, but Wednesday and Thursday when you landed, your tweets read St. Petersburg, Florida, and we didn't catch that until Saturday morning. I go to look and I'm like, Lisa, it says St. Petersburg, Florida, and we are so lucky that nobody else caught onto that.
Oh, thank God.
Days before the Rumble.
I need your help actually to turn off my location on my Twitter. I didn't know like that was, I turned off my location on Facebook, but I didn't know how to do it on Twitter.
I can teach you that, but okay. I altered it though afterwards. Cool. So it said San Diego, California, not that anybody was going to pay attention to that, but I quickly deleted your tweets from Wednesday and Thursday before the Rumble. Cause I was like, Lisa, you literally almost spoiled your return.
I know. And I was like, I told like a handful, like, of course, Nikki James of SoCal Val, you, my good friend Beth, because I wanted her to watch because I didn't know if she had the app.
Yeah.
But I told her the day before and she's like, I could have killed you for not telling me. And I was like, I didn't want to tell anybody. I wanted it to be a surprise even to my close friends. Mm-hmm. And even Tori didn't know. Jillian Hall didn't know. Mm-hmm. And Jillian Hall texted me when I landed the next day. Oh, wait, no. When I landed, hey, where are you? What you doing? And I go, what are you doing? Where are you at? Where are you at? And we didn't want to spoil it to each other. You know, so evidently Mickey James already told Jillian, like, do you want to go have dinner with Lisa and I? And I was like, oh, she already told you. And I was playing. Mm-hmm. I'm just hanging out. I was like, she was like, going, okay, is she going to say something? Or I'm like, I go, I'm actually in Florida. She goes, I am too. And I go, oh, I had no idea. So I didn't know who was there either. And I remember Tori come up to me, goes, I hate you. I can't believe you didn't share this with me. I go, I wanted it to be a surprise for you too. You know, there's no surprises in wrestling anymore because of social media. Everything gets leaked. And so that's hard. It was a hard secret, dude. It was the hardest secret I've ever had to keep, you know? Oh my God. And of course I wanted to share it with people, but then you don't want to share it because what if I screw up on a move? You know, like I don't want them to go, oh, I saw it. Oh, you kind of botched something. Or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, but.
It's okay. We're both overanalyzers. It's okay.
Yeah. And you know me, remember like I did post something about the Rumble for 4 days. Was it 3 or 4 days like afterwards? And
you kept think Wednesday, the day of Gaw.
Okay. Yeah. And I was like so exhausted. I had to post something because Gaw TV was coming. But I it took me a while to recover because I forgot how much stress goes on. Not just not being there for a long time for any wrestler. You're on the road and it's, you know, part of social media you have to promote, right? But you're just like, I need a break. I just need to relax, catch up on my rest. And I was so sore from what? I don't know. I didn't do very much. You know, I got all my moves in, but I was like, your body's like so tense before going out. You're just like, ugh. And then so every hit, I forgot how it is to be so calm and fluid in your match, but you're so stressed and so nervous, you forget to relax and breathe, you know? So I was so not, I remember Tori, she boxed me. She goes, I don't know about you. Do you feel like you got hit by a train or a truck? And I said, I feel like I got hit by a train and I didn't do much. You know what I mean? But it's easier to wrestle every single weekend opposed to wrestling every once so often because your body,
you get ring rust. Yeah.
Totally. You're never ready for the ring and you're in the ring, you know?
Now, the day before and the day of the Rumble, you were obviously surrounded by a lot of the newer talent besides the legends that you were already familiar with, like Tori, Mickey, Alicia, and Jillian. But was there anybody who stood out to you for their work or their abilities in the ring of the newer crop of talent?
Oh my God. I cannot tell you. There was so many good talent. I was just like, when I was watching a little bit before going to do my entrance, I'm like, I went to Tori. I was like, oh my God, what the heck are we doing out there? Oh my, I mean, because they were just doing major big moves and stuff like that. And I was like, are they going to even pop on my spider web, my spinning sidewalk slam? Or are they going to, you know, it was just incredible. They're all really, really good. And I was telling you the bar they have set. These girls, the new girls that come in to try out, better be freaking on the A game because the girls are freaking phenomenal, great athletes. Their cardiovascular is off the chart. They're all beautiful in their own way and being unique. It's just, yeah. Like, of course, Bailey was, you know, it brings back a lot of memories because she came to two autograph sessions when she was 12 or 14 years old. And she says she wanted to be a diva when she gets older. And you hear that from a lot of people that get your autograph and stuff like that. And they don't realize how hard it is to get your foot in the business or become an amazing wrestler. I mean, it's a 24-hour every day job. It's not where, oh, let me go to practice for 2 hours a day. It's not like that. You have to do shows every single weekend. And to see her, she was such a good ringleader. You know how I feel by my face. Like if I'm nervous, I would blank out and stare. And Bailey and Ruby kept on coming up to me. Are you okay? Do you have everything? Do you want to wear everything? And it was so sweet of them to be nurturing me, which in my generation, when I was wrestling, I would go up to the new girl, the rookie, going, you okay? You got everything? I go, if you forget anything, don't worry. I know what's going on. Just relax. This is not a script. You know, this is not choreographed. I will talk to you out there. So you know what? If you forget something, I'm going to come back to you and I'm going to talk to you. You know, I'm going to make sure you're ready, you know? And so that's a good ringleader. It's to make your opponent feel calm. And, you know, you're only as good as your opponent. Do you know what I mean? Because you both make each other look really good. And thank God they were there. And Mickey James too was just like on you, says, you deserve this. This is the moment. People have been waiting for, you know, giving me that positive confirmation, right?
Yeah.
You need to hear that. And you're only responsible. Like, okay, I know. Okay. I know. I'm just nervous. You don't need to be. You got this. You're an expert. Come on. You've been doing this for your whole life. And, you know, but still you just need that reassurance. And that's a good ringleader is when someone is caring and knows that you're nervous, knows your body language, knows how you like, you know, I guess we care too much. That's when you like the nerves, like mm-hmm. I still like even the indies when I retired, like when I was doing the indies, I still would get nauseous and nervous belly and just puking and just having to go to the bathroom all the time and just so freaking nervous. But they say that's like when that dies out, when you're not nervous, you don't care. And it's true. Then you don't have passion for it. It's time to get out. It's time to do something else when you don't care. You know what I mean? Not that you say get nauseous. The like how I get nervous, this is a little bit on the, it's too
extreme.
Much. Extreme. Yeah. Exactly. But when you're not a little nervous, something is wrong. Something's wrong.
It's time
when
to I get did out the indies, then.
Mm-hmm. Totally. When I went to the indies and I would ask them, are you nervous? Not really. Am I in the ring with the right person? Mm-hmm. I mean, if they're not nervous, I'm like, man, I would second guess. I'm like, oh, this match is not going to go well if you're not a little nervous. I don't know. That was my opinion, my 2 cents.
Now you mentioned Bailey, especially me and you definitely exclusively talked about how she specifically stood out to you backstage at the Rumble. And a few days later, you kind of alluded to the photo of her that emerged of you, Edge, and her from the night of the Rumble. And then on Twitter, there was a photo that appeared of you, of the three of you back in the day before she even started wrestling. So how cool was it to kind of see this evolution of fans growing up and not only becoming part of the wrestling business, but to have moments like that where you can look back and physically see the progress and work they've put in to make it to the point where Bailey has made it.
Yeah. I remember her coming. Okay. The second, I mean, like the third time I met her, she came into the Squared Circle when we used to own the restaurant in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I go, oh my God, it's so good to finally meet you. She goes, we've actually met before. And then she told me the story and to see her progress, like, oh my, she is freaking amazing. So is Ruby. Just like there were so many great talents. I can't name them all. I remember Peyton asking me to do the Widow's Peak. She DM'd me on Twitter. You know, they want me to do the Widow's Peak, but I just want to get your permission. This was a long, long time ago, and I didn't know how to respond. I was like, oh. And I asked Trish, I go, my God, this girl just asked me if she can do the Widow's Peak. She goes, well, hopefully they give you a shout out when she does the Widow's Peak. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know how to, like, what do I say? Like, I don't know her or anything like that, but I was like, I'm very flattered. You want to do it? Yeah. I go, you know, go for it. I'm not looking to be on the big stage anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm so flattered that someone wants to do some signature stuff. And I was telling Bailey, my spider web move, my spinning sidewalk slam. I was like, I'm shocked that no one has stolen that move. And I got that move from Crash Holly. And she goes, I got it. I'm taking it. And I go, take it. My God, it's such everybody that like Ruby was like, that is such a fun move. I go, isn't it? Every time I give that move, they're like, that is so fun. And I go, just exhale when you land, because I kind of land on top of you too. So you're going to get the wind knocked out of you just a little bit. Not that I'm snug or anything, but that's a hard move. And I have to look like I'm in a pinning situation. And wow. I went off on a tangent. But I am proud of Bailey, like, because you do hear a lot of girls saying, I want to be a wrestler, but they don't make it, or they don't even try to do the indies or sacrifice to move to another location or out of the state for their parents' house to go sacrifice being away from home and doing it. You know what I mean? So I'm super proud of her. You know, I love her. Oh my gosh. And then I saw a couple days ago, I want to wrestle Release Marie. And I was like,
that
oh
was
my
next question. What is your response?
I was shocked. I was like, because of course, you know, the feed, like it's so long to catch up on social media, right? You're just like,
that's just me scrolling through your stuff. I'm like, aha, I don't know how you do that.
It's hard. It's honestly, I saw that because someone else, it was on top of my feed that someone commented on it. And I was like, what the heck are they commenting about? And I saw, it's like, oh my God. And I was like, I retweet, I think I put hearts by it, but, And these girls are, they're such great shape. Oh my God, dude, their stamina alone, because of like the bar they have set, you have to be in incredible freaking shape and just you know, be able to go and think on your feet. And don't forget, we have one take, right? Like we don't get, okay, let's get this camera angle, like acting, you know what I mean? Oh, what's my line? You don't do, you know, or what's next? You don't stop. You have to, and we're human and we make mistakes. And, that's also part of the pressure of like doing well in the ring. It's just you're live and, it takes a certain breed of person to be a wrestler. You have to be a little bit, not enjoy pain. I don't like pain, but it's like you've been able to tolerate.
Yeah.
Like we have a high tolerance for pain.
Stamina. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And yeah. And that, and yeah. Just, and not complain. You know, it's wrestling. You can't complain about something. It's part of it. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on that potential matchup with you and Bayley?
You know, I would have to have a discussion with WWE. You never know. You never say never in this wrestling, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, obviously Ric Flair has been back for so many times. Yeah. And, you know what I mean? So you can't say retire. You have to say, you know, I don't even know what the proper word is. Just take a little hiatus. Time? I don't know. But yeah, they have a great roster. I was, I did send him, Mark Carano an audio message. And of course I start crying. I'm just like, your roster is incredible. Yeah. I'm so thankful, that the girls were so receptive and they were so nice. I thought when I went backstage, I was so scared the girls were not going to be welcoming. They're like, oh, who's this old timer coming back in trying to get her shit in, excuse my language. Mm-hmm. But they were also like, when I put, Peyton in her, in my widow's peak, all the girls went, okay, me next, put me up. And I go, hey, I'm not a young whippersnapper anymore. But they were like, I couldn't believe how many people wanted to take my moves. And, it was so great. And they were all like, when I first came to we had rehearsals, like to know our lineup and stuff like that, what the order is and like that kind of stuff. And, I was shocked how many people knew who I was. I should not be shocked, but you know, when you're not wrestling for a long time, you're like, maybe some of these girls don't know who I am.
I get it.
And they were all like, oh my God, you're here. Oh my gosh. And then Natty, thank goodness, Natalia, I love you to death. I think she's the one that got me booked because she did a round table and mentioned how I should be back at the Rumble. And she wanted to call me, but she didn't, you know, card is subject to change. She didn't want to say, I heard you're in the Rumble and then canceling me, mm-hmm. or I didn't pass my COVID test or my physical and all that kind of stuff, because I had to make an appointment to get my physical and my blood work and to have results in a day. Mm-hmm. And I was like, there was just a lot. I voxed you every day. Oh my God, I got to do this. I have a doctor's appointment. Make sure I pass my physical. What if I don't pass my physical? Oh my God. You know, because I haven't wrestled in a long time. Maybe. And they did have to take my heart rate and blood pressure. She goes, oh my, your blood pressure. And I go, I just told you, I was telling the nurse, I just got the call like a few days ago.
It's and probably really high.
And so the conversation made my energy level going, and then I have to do this and I have to do that. And then she wants to take my blood pressure. She goes, let me leave you alone for 10 minutes. And so I had to go breathe and breathe and breathe. And she goes, oh yeah, you're okay. She goes, wow, you must have been really, are you really nervous? And I go, yeah, when you go to a nurse or like, you know, the doctor's office, they don't know our business. And
yeah. Your personal emotional stuff. Yeah.
That kind of stuff. And so I had the car and of course I had to go pick up my boyfriend from work. So I was like, I gotta be out of here. They didn't have all the tubes for my blood testing. So they had to make an appointment across the street at the LabCorp to get my blood testing. So of course that spiked everything too. And I was like, am I not going to get my test results back in time? I'm like, oh my God. Maybe I'm not going to be part of this. And now I got excited and I invested in it. There was just a lot of obstacles getting ready for a match in 2 weeks. WWE, you need to give us a little bit more notice to get ready for it, you know, but it was just, you know, on the rehearsal day when they announced the, you know, what number we're coming in. And they were like, number 10, Victoria. And everybody started applauding. And they're like, you know, Abyss and, Adam Pierce and, Natty's husband,
TJ.
Yeah. TJ, was like going, you know, People have been waiting for this moment. Let her get her shit in. Let her, you guys just bump and feed her. You just sell for her. I started crying. I was like, and then Mickey started crying and then Tori started crying and everybody got me super emotional. Like I was just like going, I didn't know if they did number 10 because my birthday's on February 10th. I didn't know, but I was like, and then I later found out they wanted me number one. Because, you know, but they didn't want to repeat a history that someone came out number one from the men's rumble. I don't know what it was from. Ella, you might probably know. And I was like, oh, no, I'm glad I wasn't number one. I didn't want to stay in freaking for 12 girls to enter so I can get all my moves in. I would have been so blown up. But I was like, you know, yeah, I thought they were going to wait a little bit longer. Mm. Like, I didn't know I was going to be number 10. I thought I was to be in the 20s.
I did too. I honestly, I, when I was talking with people, I was like, you know, if Victoria returns like, or like Legends, it's got to be like in the 20s, right? Cause I would think there would be a whole crop of girls. You would come out at maybe 25. I thought would have been a good number for you to feed off of a lot of the stars that we saw.
Anticipation and like, yeah. Or like, oh, she's not going to make a comeback. Yeah. But, And Jillian was before me, mm-hmm. and when they went over what she was doing, and I go, "Oh my God, you get to do your entrance!
That's
all what people want to see. That's all what people like. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, you get to sing and do your stuff and like mm-hmm. and be Jillian Hall, like what your character was." Yeah, I was so proud. It was just so emotional, Ella. I was just like, "Wow, you heard me. I was crying, and you would box me back crying too, and just you got to experience my nerves and." I think people will be shocked how nervous I get. You got it from me. Mickey and SoCal Val too. And just, it was incredible. And I saw some, the bump, WWE, the bump, and Tori was on that. And she was mm-hmm. saying, you know, I was just so happy to see Victoria. And I was like, oh my God, like, you know, like in my generation, we're so like, we had, like, we were so close to each other back in the day. Like we're so tight and we were never jealous. We're just so just, you okay, sis? Like we were all like, it was a real big family because we were together so much. And to be able to share all that stuff, the people that you travel with, you know, like, and they know how I am.
Oh my God, you're going to cry. Oh my God.
Like these people, like when my generation, you travel with these people in the same car. They know your family drama. Like if you're going through a relationship problem, they know that. They know. Finance, like they know everything about you, what makes you tick, what makes you nervous. And, you know, it was nice to share that with the people that meant a lot to me, you know, because, you know, Mickey had to pull me aside a lot, like going, get your head straight. You deserve this. And I'm like, I'm not saying I don't deserve this, but I'm just like, I'm so nervous. I don't know what I'm doing out there. I don't know what I'm doing, you know, and, yeah. And I would share that moment with you too, just, you know, it's nice to have like our close contacts, like, you know, you hear me vent a lot about stuff in my normal life and to have someone to be able to vent to and not be so isolated and like be able to like having to do problems yourself. Like you have that backup and your backbone with your friends. Do you know what I mean? And the generation I grew up with, we all had each other's back. I mean, it was an incredible experience. And then these girls, like, oh my God, it was incredible. That locker room was freaking. It was so fun. And then like, Tamina, freaking, they call her Mama Bear. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. She's freaking amazing. And now I understood why they called her Mama Bear. It's just, she's so nurturing and is like the mother of the locker room, you know? And so is Natty too. It's like, you know, the veterans, you know, the rookies should all like the people, the newbies to always take advantage of the people that have been mm-hmm. there the longest and like, feed, like, go to them with problems, like, you know, because you can't handle everything yourself. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, we're adults, yes, we're big kids in a big platform, and adulting sucks. I text that all the time. Adulting sucks. But it's like, you have at least you have your sisters to fall back on, mm-hmm. you know. It was just so great to like just to see old faces. You know what I mean? I knew all the camera crew and the cable guys. They're like, no way. And I go, surprise, hey. I'm here. They're like, oh my God. Yes. And I go, hey, guess what? I finally got my AARP card.
She really did, though, too.
I did. And I have a guest appearance this weekend with Brooke Tessmacher, Brooke Adams. They took my AARP card for a discount on my hotel. I'm so happy. My brothers were telling me you need to get the AARP card. You get discounts at restaurants, everywhere. And it's $45 for 5 years. And you get your loved one or your partner or your husband or wife a free membership. So $45 for two memberships? Come on. 5 years? I hope AARP sponsors me in the future. I don't need a free membership, but
sponsor Lisa.
give me the perks, AARP. I want the perks.
Oh my God, that's so funny. But you talk about people being receptive to you, which I've told you so many times that you truly do deserve it. And as cliche as it is, me and Mickey have told you, like, you freaking deserved it, Lisa. We were so emotional. And you could see that when you're talking about it on Gaw, but you also revealed on Gaw, you were kind of receptive to somebody else backstage as you're a huge Mandalorian fan, which included current SmackDown Women's Champion, Sasha Banks. So what was your experience like meeting and interacting with her? I know that was awesome for you.
I have actually met her before. Okay. And so she walks into rehearsals and I'm like, oh, I thought she has a championship match. I was like, what? And she walks in, I go, grr. Of course, I make a big scene because I'm so dramatic and I'm not a quiet person. I'm like, yeah. Sasha, oh my God, I marked out when I saw you on Mandalorian. Oh my God. I go, I am a Star Wars freaking geek. You know this, Ella.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I have Mandalorian, a pillow. I have the doll. I have the face mask. David, my boyfriend, has the Mandalorian face gear.
Yeah.
Not as good as you can't tell. He always puts it on backwards. But I said, I marked out. I could not believe. I was like, I'm so happy for you. Oh my God. I go, the first time I've been jealous of a diva, or do they call them divas?
Women
anymore?
Superstars. They call them.
Okay,
now.
Superstars. Okay, yeah. My bad. It's okay. I said, first time I've ever been jealous because I'm a Star Wars freaking nerd and geek. I wanted that part. I wanted that part. And I go, when I saw that, I heard through the grapevine because David works with nurses and doctors. And one of the nurses said, I heard one of WWE divas, women's girls, I don't know what they said, is part of Mandalorian. I go, don't tell me because I don't want spoilers for my Mandalorian. And when I saw her, I was like, oh my God. And then I found out later, I heard one of the girls said, yeah, she's getting her action figure for Star Wars, Mandalorian. I go, Sasha, I go, I have a huge fit. Can you get me an action figure of you? Can you sign it for me? I don't really collect a lot of stuff. You know me, I don't have anything wrestling related up on my walls. I don't have a Mickey James poster on my left hand side.
Okay. You know, me, by the way.
I am. And I don't see a Victoria poster, but I don't have a poster, do I? Do I?
Yeah.
Hello, guys. I need a poster. Oh, yeah. Hold on. Okay. As much as I'm a Mandalorian fan, you can't see this there on the podcast, but I'm showing you Ella right now. Someone made superimposed my face on Gina Carano's Mandalorian pose. And it says the Mandalorian Tara Dune, which was my character in TNA. Of course, I'm keeping one of those. I'm not going to hang myself up, but of course, I'm a Star Wars geek. But I was just so proud that they're pushing the talent as much as they are. You know what I mean? That they're like getting them bigger spotlights and wow. I was, wow. It was just like, she's like, I think she was kind of shocked of how I reacted. And I was like, you guys, she's part of Mandalorian. And they're like looking at me and I was like going, it's Mandalore. This is a big deal, dude. I mean, being part of that cast, I'm like, and then of course I watched backstage stuff like of the Mandalorian, which is incredible. You guys, if you ever get a chance, download Disney Plus, that the extras, like, Ella, you might want to watch if you're not a Star Wars fan, or Mandalorian, the extras that show how the backstage is, all the background is on a dome. Okay. And they put the background as like the rocks and the mountains, and they would, some of the talent would bump into it. So, cause it's so realistic, but like how like electron, like this technology now is just incredible. But yeah, I marked out. I'm proud of her, and I'm, you know,
she's phenomenal.
I think she's phenomenal. I'm glad she's still humble about it. And, oh, she's so tiny, like so tiny. I, you know, like on TV, like when I saw The Mandalorian, I go, she's tiny. She's super tiny. He goes, wow. She doesn't look a little bit more, a bigger character on Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. And I go, yeah, TV adds freaking a lot of weight. And also too, a lot of actors are really tiny and small and like weigh no more than 100 pounds. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm considered a giant on, in the acting scene in LA, you know, but I was, yeah, I marked out big time. I'm so, Sasha Banks, I love you. And I'm so proud of you. Really proud of you. Seriously. Keep it going, girl.
She's doing phenomenal. And I'm glad earlier in the interview, you mentioned this highly anticipated moment in the ring, the showdown between you and Peyton Royce, as she utilizes the Widow's Peak in her moveset. So was that Widow's Peak to Peyton a planned moment, or was it just a case of right moment, right place, right time for you and her?
Do I have to spoil this? No, I knew she was going to do the Widow's Peak beforehand. And then, and I would capitalize, because we didn't know when to put the Widow's Peak in. I'll be honest, because that's all people want to see.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. Like when I was getting booked on the indie shows, they always like big girl versus big girl matches. They're like, oh, two muscle, like two big hefty girls mm-hmm. going at it. My signature is all power moves, Ella. Mm-hmm. I had to pick people up, and they have, you know, like ODB and I talk about this all the time. Her and I had a lot of indie shows together, and I went to go pick up the Widow's Peak, and I go, I couldn't pick her ass up because we're both heavy. We're not used to being picked up. So I don't know how to base for someone to pick me up. So I'm used to doing the heavy lifting or catching and all that stuff. Let you do the pretty moves. Let me do the power moves. And I knew she was doing it. And I was like, okay, the perfect placement is after she does it, you know, I'll do it. And Bailey was like giving me eye signals, like, you know, because I was like, there's so much going on a Rumble.
That's
the worst match to do. I would hate to be an agent or a producer on a Rumble because there's so many girls involved. You don't know what the hell they're doing. Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you out of the way? Are you going to be out of the way? Because I need the center of the ring. I don't want the girl to bump on a hard surface on the corners because they don't bend a little, mm-hmm. you know, it's wood. And so, yeah, when I got it at first, I was like, I was so blown up. When I got a little bit, like, if you watch it back, I got a little, she got, ooh, and you can hear me go, ah, to lift her up for that final hike over my shoulder. Mm-hmm. And then I gave it to her and I wanted to get my crazy thing in, but it was cool. It was so freaking cool, you know, especially in giving it to somebody that, you know, appreciated
uses taking that herself. Move. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God. She's so pretty too in real life. Like, right. Have you met her in real life?
I've met her. I've seen her in real life at live events, but I haven't met her specifically.
I mean, a lot of these girls, like, you see them on TV and mm-hmm. it doesn't do them justice. Like, these are really beautiful women. I mean, they're all like, so, oh my God, the ring gear and red evidently was the color of the year. Yeah, yeah, and yeah.
But, there's a lot of tan too, like Natty, Lana, Shayna came out to like gold/tan. There's a lot of that too, and a lot of red too, like you and Mickey. I don't even know if that was planned. First of all, was that planned? No.
No, it wasn't, but we were like hoping that we'd be in the ring together.
Yeah.
But I think they wanted to space out
the legends.
The generation.
Yeah.
I can understand that. I'm not upset about it. But Mickey and I go, God, how cool would it be if we were in the ring together? Mm-hmm. And we had a standoff and just like, you're in red and black and I'm in red and black, you know, back in my day though, like we were not allowed to wear the same colors, like as each other, like, you know, what are you wearing? We would see, what are you wearing tonight? Okay. I'm not going to wear that. I'll wear all black or something like that. You know what I mean? It was, like, I wasn't allowed to wear purple or lavender, not to say you can't wear that color, mm-hmm. but if Ivory was on the roster, I'm not gonna wear purple. That's her color. It's signature. Mm-hmm. So everybody, you know, it's hard to be unique in this business, to have a different look. So you're struggling to go, what color should I dye my hair to be different than the other girls? You know, there was always like a season when everybody's a blonde, everyone has dark hair, or you want to look very unique to your character, which is hard to do. They have so many people on the roster. How do you pick your mm-hmm. look?
How do you be unique and individuality? Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard because you have to look around going, what's her style? Oh man, I'm goth too. how do I do a little bit different? You know what I mean? But the goth, I hope I'm using the term right, you know, with the chains and the black and like that kind of stuff is super cool. But I can tell like a lot of girls wear that in real life and they're like, oh shit, how do you be unique? Mm-hmm. And of course, how you show up to the ring, you know, it's all business casual mm-hmm. too. Everybody was so dressed up when they got to the building. In my day, we showed up, you know, I think we'd be in business casual, which is like probably slacks mm-hmm. and maybe a button up so we can just hurry up and get to the building and change into our workout gear mm-hmm. and go to the ring and practice. Right. And the way the girls showed up, I go, my God, you look beautiful. You got to go do a photo shoot in that outfit. And because that's what I did. I took a picture in my dress that I wore. I haven't sent it to you yet, Ella. My dress, and
I think we saw it on WWE Network, though. There was a video of the day of.
You're right. You're not going to see me in heels and a dress. Like, I'm such a tomboy. Same. I'm not comfortable in that. You and I are same. Yeah. We don't like wearing makeup.
No.
We wear hats. We like long sleeves. We don't like to show cleavage. Like, you and I are just.
Way to call us out.
Right? Right. Yeah. We're just, you know. We're comfy people. Just like, we don't want a lot of effort. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh man, I was kind of pissed off at myself today. I go, oh man, I told Ella that we should do a photo together wearing her beanie so we could take a picture. And I'm like, oh great. Now I have to put makeup for this podcast. And I should have just stuck with the podcast and say, hey Ella, I'll just do a selfie later. But because, you know, the filters on the selfies are amazing. Right. But you know, I was like, it's okay. Anything for Ella. And if you guys are not following her, shame on you. Wrestling gal, shame on you. She's going to be huge. Yes. And Chris Van Vliet, you need to have her as a guest.
I would die. Oh my God. He's one of the people that inspired me to start this. Like him and like
he's Alicia. So good, Ella.
Yeah, I know. I've been watching him for like 6-7 years. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Wild.
Okay, I actually drove out to his interview for his
yes, show. You did.
I wanted to see his setup because I was like, you know, we're so new with the Goth TV and like learning the algorithms and the hashtags. And there's like a secret to doing podcasts and YouTube shows. Like there's a lot to learn. We don't. Mm-hmm. And then it's Val doing all the editing. Ella is doing all the podcast transferred from our Zoom to podcast form because a lot of our show is
video based.
Video based. Visual. You got to see our reactions, mm-hmm. what we're wearing, and how goofy we do, you know, our facial expressions and stuff like that. And so I was like, he goes, well, I can come out to you or you can come out to me. And I told David, I go, would you like, let's go to Chris Van Vliet's place and like do the interview there. That way we can kind of say hello to a couple people in LA, but we didn't get a chance to do it. But we're, you know, it's exhausting that traffic to drive to LA. It's just, you know, we're so COVID, like I'm a homebody. People think I am a social butterfly, but I like to be home with my dogs.
I
like to be home. I don't like to put my face on. I just want to be in comfy clothes in my pajamas, which is I live in. And I was like, I'll come out to you. And he was like, are you sure? I think he was like shocked that I wanted to come out. I kind of wanted to see a setup. And it's like our setup, mm-hmm. Ella. It's with the ring light and I'm like, and computer. And he had that expert, has those two prong things that record your voice. It's like two metal pieces that cross like this.
Oh, the Taz cam. Oh, I know what it is.
It's for your voice.
Yeah.
A microphone. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's called a Taz cam, I think. Yeah.
Okay. He had that and I'm not familiar with that. I've asked you about what do I need? Do I need a webcam? Is my stuff not clear enough? But he does his homework. It's like, you know, that's why I was telling you, like on certain podcasts, like, you know, you run my store. Mm-hmm. LisaMarieVaron.bigcartel.com.
Cheap plug. And
cheap plug, baby, with the thumbs up like Mick Foley. I'm getting a lot of interview requests on that. And you're like, I don't know why they're doing interview requests on this store when you have it on your bio on your social media. And, but he does his homework to make it a little bit different. And also he's really easy to talk to. Mm-hmm. He's really a nice guy, just like, you know, all American guy that just really easy to talk, like talking to a good friend that you've known for years. And he's easy on the eyes. He's very handsome, very handsome. And, it was just, I was so curious how he ran things because he's working so hard on his YouTube channel. And he was like, it took a while to learn everything. And so I was like, okay, good. Because we're still learning too. Mm-hmm. And Val is like working, you know, SoCal Val is working so hard about editing and the sound effects.
She's amazing.
She's amazing, dude. Oh my God. I don't know how she has the energy. She has a lot of energy. And then Mickey James too, with having a child. Mm-hmm. I only have two dogs and I'm like, I don't have the energy level as they do. How do they do it, Ella?
I couldn't tell you.
God, coffee does so much, you know? Jeez. You and I really enjoy sleep. We're just like,
I don't get a lot of sleep though anymore. Don't. To be honest, I don't. You don't.
Well, your plate's getting pretty thin because you're now a hot commodity. Everybody wants a piece of Ella. Back of the line, fellas and girls. Yeah. Well, what made me get off of this tangent? I don't remember what that, yeah.
I don't know either, but reeling it back.
Okay. Yeah. You know, you have to guide the conversation with me because I can talk forever.
No, you're good. Now you were talking about too, how you were surrounded by a bunch of your legends who were also a bunch of your personal friends. But since you now have officially marked the Royal Rumble down in your books, who is another wrestler from your era that you'd like to see make a Royal Rumble return perhaps next year?
Oh my God. There's so many girls, dude. I'll be honest with you. I wish Molly Holly was part of this Rumble because she's a big part of like my learning and, just being calm out there. And she's just such a natural talent.
She was in last year's.
I know. Like Ivory. Oh my gosh. Name some people. There's so many people that are like Lita. I did tell Tori, I think when we got followed around, I go, her and I got in the camera together. I think they edited that out. Did they even show that Tori and I being
with like Vince's Devils thing?
Yeah. And like, cause Tori, Candace and I were a big staple and also really close friends.
Yeah.
And it's great to see Carlito back. There were so many girls, man. There were so many girls in our industry. Like, I wish Medusa was there too. There was just a lot of people that had a lot of influence on me that I would love to share the ring with. Do you know what I mean? And especially like, you know, Trish Stratus, we had the longest angle and the most vicious angle. And I remember when I came up, she's like, she was watching some of my footage or I don't even know. She knew of me coming up and she was like, I want to face Lisa. And we had a hardcore, like any match you give us, we never turned down. Of course it hurt a lot and we laid everything in and, you know, we both, you know, kind of split each other open a little bit like
just
that. Just a little, but anything for a cheap pop, not a cheap pop, expensive pop on our face. Right. Mm-hmm. But I wish she was there too. But if she was there, I wonder if she would say, hey, Victoria, can you take my stratisfaction or my stratosphere? So I'd be probably selling all of her moves. I'm just kidding. But, I do wish Melina Perez was there.
I was holding out hope that she would be there. I like, honestly, knowing that you and Mickey were there too, and probably a few other legends, I was like, please give me the trifecta. And then, and you know, I mean, they only have so many spots, but.
Yeah. She didn't know I was going back because I heard her name through the rumorville about her being there. And, I said, hey, are you going to be at the Rumble? And then she got a couple boxes later. Are you asking me if I'm the Rumble because you're in the Rumble? Maybe or maybe not. Because I didn't want to tell her either. I just didn't want to tell anybody in the wrestling industry. Yeah. I wanted her to be a surprise too. But I was hoping, I thought she was going to be there because since she was there not too long ago.
For Legends Night,
Legends Night. And so I was like, there was just a lot of Oh man, there was just so many people that are part of not upbringing, but my upbringing in wrestling that were so important, you know? So, but you know, you can't have everybody there. You know, there was only what, Tori, Jillian, myself, and Alicia Fox,
Mickey.
and Mickey.
So five of you.
Weird,
yeah.
Because Alicia and Mickey are already part of the roster, was kind of weird to me, but yeah. Yeah. There was a lot of people in my era, you know, that put me over, and it takes two to tango. So I had some good angles back in the day, you know, so, but I'm happy. I don't think I would change anything. I was super ecstatic. You know, I was so thankful when the Rumble ended. I'll be honest with you. When it was over, I go, oh, it's over. And I went to Gorilla, which is the entrance to the stage. And I'm like, holy blown up. And then Hunter was there, and I go there. They all laughed, and I go, dude, I forgot how blown up, how difficult this is. You know what I mean? And they all laughed. And wow, I just wanted to stay out of the way because there's still entrances being done for the Rumble. Yeah. So I was like out of the way. And these girls are like incredible, dude. Like Bianca, like the last two.
Bianca, that was my next question. We did see Bianca Belair eliminate Rhea Ripley to win the 2021 Women's Royal Rumble match. So what was your reaction to not only seeing Bianca Belair emerging victorious, but WWE trusting two newer talents to showcase themselves in the final two? How amazing.
Oh, they don't look new. They don't look like rookies. Mm-hmm. Rhea, I'm a huge fan of. Dude, one of my favorites. I'm going to be completely honest. Oh my God. She is just unbelievable wrestler. And to see them go, like, they're there for almost the entire match. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Bianca.
So imagine going through 30 girls, like, mm-hmm. I mean, not 30, but you know, and executing all those moves and being also, I'm going to go back Naomi too. Mm-hmm. I love Naomi. You know, part of the Samoan family, and I'm a huge mark for the Samoan family. I was very proud. They have a great, I can't badmouth anybody. I was just like, their roster is just incredible. Whatever their tryout steps are, it's hard to like, whew, they were amazing. Oh my God. Amazing. That Rhea. Oh my God. And she does her own makeup. Her own makeup. I go, oh, you don't go to the makeup artist? She goes, oh no, I just know what I like and I just do it myself. I go, oh my, wow, that's great. Oh my God, you look great. Mm-hmm. It was just, yeah, she was right by my suitcase. And I was just, yeah, I was glad to share a locker room with her.
She is such a sweetheart in real life too. I was fortunate to meet her last year. She is legit the most humble and I think nicest wrestler I've ever met last year. Like, I can't describe my experience with her when she was NXT Women's Champion at the time. She was so gracious, so kind, like incredible.
Oh my God. Her body. Oh,
she's jacked.
Is incredible. Oh, and shredded.
Yeah.
I don't think she has an ounce of fat on her. I mean, yeah. Yeah. I'm really a big fan of hers, and I'm super proud of Bianca, you know, just, yeah. Oh my God.
Bianca. I was so happy for Bianca too.
Oh, me too. Me too. And then to see her boyfriend being so supportive mm-hmm. backstage. Oh, it was so great. Oh,
good old Montez.
That experience was just mind blowing. I can't explain how hard these people work. And so, when people crap on storylines and like, why is this person not facing this person? You know, we're not in charge of the storylines. You know, we have writers, we have producers, you know, but every girl there is talented and it deserves their spot. I'll be honest.
Now, at the end of the night, I know me and you, your phone had blown up at the end of the night and you were up till like 5 a.m. So how exactly did you celebrate or spend the evening afterwards, Lisa?
Well, okay. I forced myself. I wanted to go to sleep. I'll be honest with you. But Mickey was like, we got to go celebrate. You know, Ric Flair is at this bar, mm-hmm. you know, and I tried to get Charlotte to come out, but she doesn't party and she's like very much of a homebody. And really into her physique and clean life, like, you know, just not into that after life style. And so I heard, we got a text, everybody's at this certain bar And of course, all the old timers, Hurricane, Ric Flair, mm-hmm. Shane McMahon was there, Mickey, myself. Oh my gosh. I know I'm missing somebody else, but Tori. And it was just nice to have a couple glasses of wine with our old timers and going back to old school, because that's part of the fun, is going back to a restaurant or just to have a couple cocktails with each other and just not talking about wrestling, just talking about life and stuff like that, just catching up. And not very many people were out, but it was, that's how we celebrated. And like, I guess we got to chit chatting so long. I didn't realize it was 5 a.m. Thank God I stayed an extra day. Because ODB, I was meeting up with ODB that following day and going to visit Danny Davis and Julie, who was the owner of OVW.
Yeah.
To go spend the day with them and have lunch with them and then go back to their place and then have a couple cocktails. And it was so great. Like, of course, I'm going to stay to go see Danny Davis. He made me the wrestler that I became. You know, OVW was... You learn so much from OVW, and Al Snow owns it now. And that's the school like that I learned everything from, you know. And, you know, we didn't have Rikishi school, Knox X Pro, you know what I mean? But I always tell people, if you're going to go to a school, you need to go to a school that someone's been on the big platform, because you can't go to an indie promotion that no one has been up there. It's a different scenario, training. At an indie show that no one's been there. They don't know how it is. It's a completely different environment. You know what I mean? But I was exhausted. Oh my God. I woke up. I was like, oh, please. I hope Jessica ODB doesn't text me. I was like, I slept until like 11 or 12 or something like
yeah.
that. I was like, I'm not ready. I'm not, hold on. Let me sleep for a little bit longer. I need to rest. I'm so exhausted, you know? But yeah. That's how I celebrated, going back to my OVW crew.
Now, what was your reaction to not only your phone blowing up, but seeing the excited reactions and stunned faces from all your fans, family, and friends the days following?
Oh my God. I had to stay off the media because I couldn't, the text messages, I came back to over 100 text messages and I was like, oh, I can't, I don't want to spend my whole day texting yeah. and responding.
I was shocked you found mine and replied to it.
I think maybe yours comes up first. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. Also Voxer too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like there's a handful of people we Vox. Mm-hmm. But it was, I couldn't respond. And I even like 4 days later, I was like, oh my God, I didn't say thank you to this person. I'm still sure that I have not responded to all the text messages and DMs. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And also to my birthday following. Mm-hmm. So everything was piled up.
Yeah.
I was like, I just looked at my, I can't, I appreciate it.
Chuck it.
I couldn't do it. I was like, I need to rest. I just want to get home in my bed with my dogs and watch my mm-hmm. anime or my, you know, my shows and just relax and chill out and just veg out. You know, it was incredible. I couldn't believe when I saw my phone, I go, oh my God, look, they were like, I know. Mm-hmm. And I go, how? And I'm one that I didn't carry my phone backstage. I put it in my locker room, in my bag, because mm-hmm. I'm there to work. I'm not there to post crap. And I'm focused on the show, you know? So yeah, I came back with, I'm sure there's text messages. I never responded to anybody. I feel bad, and I appreciate, shout out to everybody that sent me some, but also too, the fan reaction videos.
I know. How those made me so emotional.
They made me cry too.
I knew it was coming and I was still crying.
I didn't know. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. Like people crying yeah. when I entered. Oh my, I was shocked. Mm-hmm. It was so, great, Ella. I mean, honestly, I had no idea people were going to react like mm-hmm. that. I thought they were like going, oh, great. Finally. That's it. I didn't think the tears mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. And it meant a lot to me. It was just like, wow, I made an impact on somebody, like in wrestling, on somebody's life. You know what I mean? Wow. They appreciated my work and my hard work, you know? It was so great.
I know. That was such an emotional, Lisa. I don't think I went to bed till like 4 in the morning because I was just part of me was so emotional from you, Mickey, and then Edge and Christian, just the whole night. I was so like wound up, and you get emotionally invested as a fan. And with so many returns from so many legends we thought we'd never see, and for them to implement some emotional moments like that, like it tugs at your heartstrings if you're such a longtime wrestling fan.
When I saw Edge, he was like, I go, what are we, back in 2007? What's going on? I'm like, God. And then Randy Orton, when I saw him, he goes, oh my God. And he's so manly now. Yeah. Like he was a little boy back in the day. Mm-hmm. He goes, oh my God. And I was like, well, how's your wife? He goes, oh, she's the best thing that ever happened to me. He's a father now. Mm-hmm. Like all these people became adults. And I still feel like that young chick still going, where are we going afterwards? Where are we going afterwards? Are we going to, are we going to TGI? What is open at this time? You know what I mean? It was incredible. Oh my God. A lot of emotion. I told you, like I had to go to the bathroom a lot just to be by myself, to be isolated and cry, throw up. I'm just like, and just I talk to myself in the mirror, which I never done before, except on a storyline with Trish, but I had to go, okay, take a deep breath. Okay. You know, the night's almost over. Okay. We're almost over. We're going to get through this, you know, that kind of stuff. And just, it's a lot to process. And it didn't stop because, you know, of course my phone was getting blown up about the reactions and the still pictures of me entering with my ring gear and stuff like that. It was so cool. But I was like, I can't, like, I was, oh my God. You know, that little thing on the Instagram when people tag you?
Yeah.
I was like, 28. I go,
I saw the number go up and up. I kept getting notifications.
I can't. I was like, why? I can't. I need a rest. I was like, even like a week afterwards, you were asking me, are you recovered? Did you get enough sleep? Mm-hmm. No, I'm still catching up and trying to respond to all this. It's like, it doesn't end. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Which I appreciate. Don't think that I don't. But it's impossible to reply to every DM.
I know.
I needed you to help me do the DMs. I can't reply. You know, it's like it's impossible. Mm-hmm. Or else all day I'll be on the phone. And I'm you know me with social media. I like to be off the phone at 5:30 at night. I turn off all my notifications so I just have family time. Mm-hmm.
Now, wrapping it up, I have a few more questions for you, but in regards to the Royal Rumble, what are your final takeaways as whether it be the emotion that hit you going through the curtain after 12 years and then being in a WWE ring for the first time in 12 years? What are your final takeaways from this experience?
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, WWE, give me a little bit more than 2 weeks notice. It made me like, you know, you talk about wrestling, you know, with all the podcasts and like, you know, our God TV, and like interviews you do, you really appreciate what you do and you forget like matches you've had that has impacted so much on people. And you're like, they'll mention certain matches. I don't remember them. Like there's a lot of them.
There's a lot in your archive. So yeah,
there is. Right. And I'm like going, it makes you really appreciate what you've done and how much the fans really, they got your back, man. Wrestling fans, the wrestling universe, WWE universe are so supportive and so loyal. I mean, they are with you through thick and thin. And I'm happy that I made so many people happy about being back. And the appreciation I got from the company and all my hard work really paid off, that kind of thing. But I'm proud to say that I'm a pro wrestler. You know what I mean? I'm really proud. You know, it was a hard life. A lot of sacrifices, a lot of time away from your family, but it's all worth it. You know, it's all worth it.
I just still, I'm smiling because it's been almost 4 weeks now at this point, and it feels like just yesterday you're boxing me, Ella, you gotta swear to God.
Yeah.
Like you won't tell anybody.
I have a secret to tell you, but you have to say swear to God. I'm not gonna tell you until you say swear to God and you box me back. I promise.
Yeah.
And that's when I told you. And then you got emotional and I got emotional. And of course the vomiting started and oh my God. The nerves, you guys have no idea the nerves that we go through. It's like, we're not perfect. And so when people are so mean on social media, it's a hard job. This mm-hmm. is not for everybody. Be gentle on some of these people and kind. We have one shot to make it look good, and it's a lot of pressure, and we're bad actors that do our own stunts, and we get one shot at it. So, you know, we're human. We make mistakes. We're not perfect. So, you know, be kind, you know, just, it's not just a job for us. It is our passion mm-hmm. and we take pride in it, but we do make mistakes, you know?
I know. And again,
and if you're my one take is, if you're not following a wrestling gal, shame on you. Shame, shame, shame. My first interview back after Royal Rumble.
I can't believe it. Again, I'm honored. To wrap things up, I have one fun question for you that my friend Austin submitted. We talked about the widow's peak earlier. So obviously you have perfected the craft of giving the widow's peak, but who do you think sold the widow's peak the best out of all the people you've given it to?
Oh my God, that's hard. Oh my God. you know who sold it the best, but actually got injured from it? Christy Hemme.
Oh,
she wanted to sell it so well. You'll mm-hmm. see replays on social media. I don't remember what match it was, but she wanted to make it look so good. Mm-hmm. And she's also she has lordosis, which her back, it curves back here a lot. So her back, you'll see on it, like on replays, she wanted to sell it back. Like she looked like an accordion.
Yeah.
And she bent it and she goes, I actually kind of hurt. I go, all you need to do is just straighten your knees. You just take a bump and then your neck just, mm-hmm. you know, snaps back a little bit. And she wanted to make it so good that she overdid it. Mm-hmm. And, wow, that's the most, I can't watch that video when people post it. That's a video I'm like, because I don't like in wrestling, you don't really want to hurt your opponent. If you hurt your opponent, I don't want to work with you again. You're not one of my mm-hmm. favorite opponents mm-hmm. because there's an art of this craft where you don't really hurt somebody mm-hmm. and make it look real without really physically putting someone out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's the longevity of it too, is I was always really giving in the ring, like taking a lot of moves, whatever you want to get in, you get in, you know what I mean? And that's why a lot of people wanted their last matches with me and that kind of stuff, you know, make them look good and not really hurt each other. But yeah, that was my like, I didn't want to hurt you. I didn't want to really hurt you. She goes, it's my fault. I wanted to sell the move really extra and it's my fault. My back actually folded back and I go, God damn you for being so flexible,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know? And, but you want to be the person that everybody wants to work with.
Yeah.
If you're
safe.
A snug worker, mm-hmm. snug safely is okay. Mm-hmm. Snug or actually putting someone out or actually hurting someone, you're not going to be the top competitor. I won't go to the office. I want to work with her. Mm-hmm. You're the last person I'm going to work mm-hmm. with. You know, you want to be an opponent where you guys both work with each other and have a long career.
Now, speaking of back in the day, you bring about obviously Candice Michelle and Tori Wilson. A lot of people were wondering, like, what are your thoughts on like the possibilities of, I guess, not bringing back Vince's Devils to today, but what do you guys think you could have done if perhaps you had the chance back then for the women's tag team championships, especially to like vie for them in Vince's Devils back when there was no like tag team championships? What do you think you guys could have done with the possibility of those back in the day?
Oh, Ella, if there were tag belts, dude, oh, we have been all about it. And, you know, I would have loved Candace and Tori showcase their wrestling side more so. You know, I know I was the muscle and I was the bully and the kick ass and behind them, which I totally appreciate, you know, as a bigger girl and a little bit more wrestling experience, not wrestling in the business experience,
yeah.
but wrestling. But, you know, they were really talented. They had a lot of, you know, they wanted to get in and get dirty. And I felt at the time a little guilty because I was doing all the beating up and stuff like that. They're like, yeah, you have to go through Victoria to get to us, you know what I mean? It was a cool angle, but they were tough divas at the time, you know, they were still tough too, and they can do moves. And I felt a little guilty at the time because I'm like, I know they want to get in there and scrap too and show what they can do. Mm-hmm. But you know, we just, you know, argue with the office. You just do what you're told. This is a, you don't tell someone to change the script and say, I don't want to die at the end of the movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you just go with the flow. You have to, you know, make lemons into lemonade, right?
Now, before I let you go, Lisa, can you please tell the people where they can find you and GawTV on social media?
Social media, you know this, Ella. You can find me at Real Lisa Marie, Instagram and Twitter. My Facebook, I don't remember exact. I think it's Lisa Marie Varon / is my fan Facebook page. And GawTV at GawTV on Instagram. And Facebook is at GawTV.
Yeah, and then Twitter correct. Is the GawTV, yep. And then GawTV.com, I believe. Yeah. And then Patreon.com/GawTV. And check out GawCast while you're at it.
Exactly. Exactly. See, Ella knows all of our taglines. And I should have been prepared. You wait till the last minute until I can't remember. But also too, like if you catch our show on YouTube, youtube.com/GawTV show.
Show. Yes.
Ooh, yes.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Lisa, and enlightening the people on all things Royal Rumble.
Thank you so much, Ella. And if you guys follow Wrestling Gal, or else I'll get the widow speak on ya.
Oh no, we wouldn't want that. She ain't the lady to mess with.
Yeah, just ask Christy Hemme.
Alrighty, thank you so much again, Lisa. Again, I am so honored to be your first interview back.